Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I am stirred. I am excited. I don't know why, but it feels like it's been a month since I've been in the pulpit. Praise the Lord. Now, it has been a couple weeks since we've been here. I guess last week we had to call it off because of snow. Amen. And they tried to get us with snow again, but we weren't going to have it. Hallelujah. So we needed to come to church. We needed to have church. Praise the Lord. But I can tell that y'all blessed still. Amen. You're all living a good life. Praise the Lord. Maybe even if there's been some opposition against you, you know, God is good and God is here. God is with us. Praise the Lord. He wants to take us higher and into more that God has for us. Hallelujah. Because how many know that He has more for us? Amen. I said He's got more for us. He's got more for us today. He's got more for us tomorrow. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why I want to get all that He has for me today, because if I don't get all that He has for me today, then He's got to double up tomorrow. Amen. And you might not be able to carry it all unless I've worked a little bit. You know, that's the thing. You go to the gym and you work out. Praise the Lord. I haven't been in a while, but you go to the gym and you work out. And the goal is, as you lift those weights, that eventually you lift more of them. Amen. But how many know if you started at the end first, you would get tripped up. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you haven't been in the gym in a while, you can't just go in and lift a bunch more weight than you normally could. Amen. You have to work your way up to it. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to receive the blessing of God. Amen. The fullness of it. So I want to receive all He's got for me today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you're excited to be in church tonight. God's got a good plan for us. Amen. A good word for us. I was seeking God this afternoon on specific things. Lord, as He does, deliver me the message just the way He always does. Praise the Lord. You know, and kind of probably going to talk about a little bit about that tonight, but just, you know, following the Holy Ghost and learning how to do it. It's meant for every Christian. To learn to see God the way that he intended us to see Him. Amen. And so today we're going to be talking about building faith through vision. Amen. Praise the Lord. Building faith through vision. I'm excited for this message. I'm excited for what God has for us. Praise the Lord. These things, there's a few things that came to me as I was preparing this message today, that really settled in me. One of them is this. Some people try to build doctrine and thus create faith in people by interpreting Scripture. Let me say that again. Some people will try to build doctrine and thus create faith in people by interpreting Scripture. And what I mean by that, and what it came across to me is that people will get some kind of faith built in them in any church. It doesn't matter what church you go to. There's some kind of faith that's going to get built into you. Now, how many know we don't want some kind of faith? I want God kind of faith. Amen. I don't want just random whatever, you know, Joe Blow came up with or whatever. And I'm not saying every church does this. I'm not coming down on it. But there's some out there that do. Amen. And I don't want that. You don't want that. Praise the Lord. We don't want to interpret Scripture. We don't want to come up with our ideas of what we think the Scripture says. You know, so many times as I've talked to people or whatever, I've realized that people will, they'll take Scripture completely out of context and they'll try to come up with some way of interpreting it, of what God meant by it. But how many know that the Holy Ghost, well, first of all, God, when God told man to write vision, is that in Habakkuk? Yeah, he told man to write the vision. What did He say to him? He said, make it plain on tablets. Make it plain on tablets. Amen. He didn't say make it confusing. He didn't say make it interpretable. Hallelujah. He said, make it plain. So guess what the Word of God, if God is going to hold us to that standard, guess what God does? Holds Himself to the same standard. Amen. He wrote it plain on tablets. Well, glory to God, we don't have stone tablets anymore, but we got these pages. Amen. And it's been written plain for us. It's not hard. It's not something that you have to try to interpret or come up. Now, when I say that, there is an interpretation per se to Scripture. We have to understand certain things to understand Scripture. There's no doubt about that. You will understand Scripture better if you understand certain things. For example, if you understand who it was written to, why it was written to them, and the time period in which it was written, all those things, it will make it more clear as to why they do certain things and say certain things. You know, I used this example in Mayville last week of, you know, if you look in the old King James Version, you'll see that the word unicorn is used about 7 or 8 times, something like that. Well, praise the Lord. How many know that we didn't have unicorns? We don't have unicorns. There will never be unicorns. Amen. actual unicorns. We're talking about magical fairy horses with horns coming out of their heads. They don't exist, amen, in case you didn't know. Praise the Lord. But you know, if you get an old dictionary, an 1800s dictionary, and you look into that dictionary and you look up the word unicorns, it's going to be the word, it's going to say rhinoceros is what it's talking about. So the word was used for rhinoceros. That's what God was talking about. But the interpreters, in the King James was interpreted in 1611, praise the Lord, or translated, I should say, in 1611. And so that's why the wording would be a little bit different. But see, if you didn't understand that, you might go off and build a doctrine based on unicorns. And we don't want to do that because unicorns don't exist. Amen. And people think we look foolish and all this stuff. And so we have to understand that there are things with Scripture that Scripture interprets Scripture. In other words, you don't have to come up with some crazy understanding of something. All you have to do is find where it talks about it in Scripture. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this is so often how people get into bad doctrine. Is they come up with their interpretation, or they hear an angel, or they hear somebody else tell them, some other voice tell them, this is what God means by that. But we know that it's not true. It's not hard to figure it out. Praise the Lord. We don't want man's interpretation of Scripture. Thank you. Praise the Lord. We don't want man's interpretation of Scripture. We want what Scripture says. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. We don't want to know what man thinks about it. I don't want to know what you think about it. You don't want to know what I think about it. We want to know what God thinks about it. Because when we have God, it's not hard when you need to know something, back when I was in high school, it was a popular thing to try to figure out what the interpretation of certain poetry is. Amen. You'd read, have you ever read a poem or something like that, and you've gone through it, and you're like, it sounds good, it flows good, and all that stuff. I had no idea what this crazy person is saying. You ever read that? You ever read a poem like that? One of my favorite poets of all times, I'm a big into poetry. One of my big favorite poets is Dr. Seuss. Praise the Lord. And you can learn a lot from Dr. Seuss, but many people don't understand this, that in Dr. Seuss's, a lot of his writings, there's a lot of kind of political and kind of, there's commentary about what was going on at the time and stuff like that. And it was given a social, and I don't necessarily agree with them all, but my point is that there's more of an interpretation there. But if you want to know what if you really want to know what a poet means by what they say, what's a good way of finding out? Is asking them, right? I mean, if you ask the author, they have a pretty good idea what they're saying, amen? And so the same thing goes with the Word of God. So many people are trying to interpret the Word of God through their own ears or their own eyes or their understanding of society or their understanding of life or whatever, and it falls flat. It's never what God intended, and that's how people can get off. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we want what the Scripture says. Amen. Now this other thing came to me, and it was about building. But if you want to build something, you must be able to see it first. Amen. Now we're talking about building faith through vision. But if you want to build anything, you got to be able to visualize it. If you went to the building, local building inspector, and you said, I want to build a new house here, praise the Lord. You may have all the ability to build a house. You may have all the tools. You may have the land to build the house on. You may have all the lumber you need to build the house with. But how many know that building inspector is going to require you to produce something? He wants to see it before you build it. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that I necessarily agree with building inspections and all that stuff, but I'm just saying that that's the way things work today. But the same thing is with the things of God, that if we're going to build them, we need to see them. If we're going to build faith, in fact, what faith is the ability to see things that don't actually exist. Amen. It's the ability to see things that that you don't have yet. It's the ability to be able to see yourself with it. And so when we're talking about vision today, this is what we're talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the Holy Spirit's job, does anyone know what that is? Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit's job is to lead us through the Word of God. It's to show us and to teach us all things. Amen. He's our teacher. I love that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. That God said, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, people love that scripture. They love the idea that Jesus would never leave us nor forsake us. You know, and they think, they kind of think of like, you know, they kind of get this idea of, you know, being able to cuddle up next to Jesus, or they get this idea of being able to, you know, the feel-good feelings and stuff like that. But that's not what he's talking about. He said, when he said, I would never leave you nor forsake you, he was meaning that he isn't going to leave us without direction, without knowledge, without the ability to live, without the ability to do things. Amen? And what he left us with was faith, praise the Lord. But he left us with the Holy Spirit as well. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who leads us and guides us into all things. And that's something that we really have to grasp onto, is that God wants us to know. He wants us to see. Amen. Now, I might as well read it to you, John 16:13. Let's go ahead and turn there. I mean, this is a scripture that I've been on a lot lately, and you know, I just can't seem to get away from it. And I believe that would be because God is just trying to show me something. Amen? And if it keeps coming up in sermons, I would say that God's trying to show us something. This scripture is very, very, very important. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, if you read this in the King James Version, that word tell would have been translated show. He will show you things to come. Now, we know that both of these things apply and both of these things work, because oftentimes the way that God shows us something is not by some specific vision, some, you know, we didn't have some crazy dream or something like that. You know, and I'm not saying that God won't use dreams and he won't use visions, you know, where you're sitting there and then all of a sudden you're caught up into the glory, a glory cloud, and you're seeing over into something you've never seen before, and you have a vision of something, you know, that needs interpretation. God does do things that way. He does show us things that way, but most of the time he shows us I would say more of a what we call revelation, which is like an inward vision. It's an inward knowing, and that's really what this word show or tell is about, that you would know, that he's going to tell it to us, he's going to show it to us, so that when we walk away we know something. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when you, you know, if you want to see something, you know, how many know that, you know, there's something about visualizing something. There's something about seeing it. When we were building the Jamestown Church in Jamestown, hallelujah, when my pastor was having that church built, you know, I remember going to the site before the building was built. Now, God's given me the ability to be able to see things long before they exist. I just always have had that. It's helped me in a lot of arenas. But one thing is, I was standing at this job site, and they had the ground excavated and ready to start putting in the foundation and stuff like that. They had the holes dug, and I had seen the plans, and so I understood what the building was going to look like. But, you know, I was standing there with a few people that didn't quite understand what it would look like. And I walked them around the building, and I said, so pastor's pulpit will be about here, and this will be where the congregation sits, and this will be where the entry area is and stuff like that, you know. And it helped people understand things. You know, I showed them without showing them, you know what I mean? But I was able to see things, and that's what God wants to do for us, is he wants us to be able to walk through this life, to be able to be led through this life, praise the Lord, by seeing things from the standpoint of revelation. And so today, when we're talking about seeing things, I'm not necessarily talking about that you see something. You look at your neighbor next to you, praise the Lord, you see them. But now look to an empty seat and picture your mother, she's not here, or picture somebody you know that's not here, and you can see them there, amen? That's what we're talking about, and that's so often when the Bible talks about seeing, that's what it's talking about. And that's what faith is. The faith is that ability to be able to see those things that you can't actually see with your eyes, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, you're in John 16. Go back to John 14 and verse 26. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I love the scripture because the scripture always makes God's will clear to us. It makes God's direction clear to us. God's will and direction is written very clearly, and so, and I believe we'll see some of that tonight. Amen. Verse 26, John 14, 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all things which I said to you." So this is something we understand about this. So he's going to show us things to come. He's going to tell us things to come. He's going to enlighten us to things to come. Amen. But look what it says here. He's going to remind us of all things Jesus said to us. Now that's very interesting. People are looking for outward signs. They're always looking for some outward leading from God. They want, "Lord, show me how to do this." And God tells us that the Holy Spirit, he wouldn't leave us nor forsake us. He was going to leave us with this Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit was going to show us things to come. And he was going to remind us of the things that Jesus said. That's very interesting to me. See, when we see that Jesus is going to, that the Holy Spirit is going to remind us of the things. Listen, if I remind you of something, if I ask you to do something, and then I come to you and I remind you and say, "Oh, did you do this or that?" And you say, "Oh, yes, yes, I did that," or "I didn't do that." I was reminding you of something that I've already said, that you already heard. Amen. But see, if I, you can't say that if I come up to you for the first time and I said, you know, I come up to you for the first time and I say, "Hey, Mark, I want you to shave your head." Or, "Why didn't you shave your head? Praise the Lord." He said, "Well, you didn't ever tell me to shave my head." I wouldn't tell him that, but it's a bad example, but it's going to work for this. Amen. But he said, "You didn't ever," see, I'm not reminding him of something. I'm telling him something for the first time. Now, if I come up to him a week from now and I say, "Remember that time in the service when I told you to shave your head?" Now he remembers it. See, I could remind him. See, if you don't know, if you've never heard something, you can't be reminded of it. And this is where Christians fail so often, is they don't spend enough time in the Word. And they're looking for God to answer this question and to answer that question. "Lord, help me, direct me, guide me." Yeah. Let's not lose track of what we're talking about here. Still, John 16 ain't too far away. Remember that. Go back to John 16, 13. Actually, in mine, it's in the same pages. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come." Now, of course, we know that this is talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of what? Truth. Jesus said, "Lord, your word is truth." When he has come, he will guide you into all truth. Amen. John 14, 26 tells us that he will remind us of the things that Jesus said to us. Jesus was the Word of God. Amen. So what do we see here? What is the connection here to our lives? It's the Word. We cannot be led except by with the Word. I've been finding it as I've been seeking God and endeavoring to know God more and to get more direction from God for this life, for now, what's going on in our lives right now. One thing that the Lord has led me on and I have found is that when I go to prayer and I have the Word with me, he talks to me. He shows me things to come. He tells me things I didn't know before. He applies this word to my situation. I'll get into a scripture and I'll read a scripture and all of a sudden God will enlighten me on the inside. I will see exactly what he's trying to tell me. I will see exactly what my answer is for how I'm living today, for what I'm going through today. It's as I go to the Word and I bring it before the Lord. See, the Holy Spirit works with the Word in conjunction with the Word, not separate from it. And this is where people get off, because we have I've met a lot of visionaries, so to speak, a lot of prophets, sidewalk prophets, as we like to call them, people who like to speak into other people's lives. Amen. They come up with this idea and that idea. But the one thing that I've noticed about all of them is that most of them have a very poor understanding of the Scripture. And I'm just going to tell you something. If you have a poor understanding of the Scripture and you are a prophet to boot, I'm going to tell you something that you might not like, but you aren't a prophet of God. You are a prophet of the devil. You are talking in line with the devil. How do I know? Because the Holy Spirit is going to lead us according to the Word. He's going to teach us according to the Word. He's going to show us according to the Word. He's not showing us separate from the Word. He's showing us in conjunction with the Word. Now listen, I was spent some time in my life. I was always kind of a person who was more kind of in touch with the spiritual things. Even when I was living wrong, I was more sensitive to spiritual things. And there are people that are more sensitive to spiritual things. But, you know, when I was like that, I would have leadings, or I would have kind of ideas or visions sometimes, and stuff that were would seem like they were good at the time. But I found out much later that they weren't good. They were very wrong. They were things that were trying to lead me astray. See, the problem is at the time I didn't have the knowledge of the Word. Now, being still today, I'm still sensitive to spiritual things, amen? And God shows me. I have pretty amazing interactions with God sometimes. Sometimes I have visions, actual visions or dreams where I see something that I, you know, and God interprets it and stuff like that. See, I'm still the same type of person, but God's working through me now because I have the Word built in me, you understand? And so there's and I'm not calling myself a prophet or a visionary or anything like that. I'm a pastor, praise the Lord. I'm a man of God, praise the Lord. I endeavor to follow God. I'm not trying to put a label on what I am or anything. I don't need that, amen? All I need to do, and I've been learning this more and more, all you need to do is learn to follow God. You don't need to have a label on you. You don't have to need a label on it. Just follow God and you'll be blessed. Amen. That's what I'm doing. I'm just following God, trying to have fun while I'm doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But we see that God wants us to be led. He desires us to know something. God shows us through the Word. Amen. So if you have the reason I start with all this is because what you need to get through your situation is you need faith. In other words, you need to be able, the ability to see something that you couldn't see before. You need that ability to step into those things that God has for you, but you need faith to do it, amen? And you're not going to have faith unless you have the Word in you. You're not going to, we're going to see all this tonight, I believe, but as we continue on, amen? Why don't you turn with me to Mark, praise the Lord. We'll go to Mark 9, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, hallelujah. Mark is, I think Mark is my favorite of the Gospels. Praise the Lord. I don't know why, I just like Mark. I have a son, Mark. I like him too, praise the Lord. And it really doesn't have anything to do with him, I don't think. But it might have something to do with him, I don't know. But the name anyways, praise the Lord. But Mark 9, glory to God. 23, that's filler, no charge. It probably didn't make any sense to you, and if it didn't, that's fine. I don't really care. It made sense to me in the moment. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's all that I care about at that point. Praise God. Glory to God. You were focused on turning the pages anyways. Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, everybody say, Jesus said. When Jesus said, it means something. When Jesus said it, you know, we know that the Word of God is all from the Lord. Amen. And so none of it's better. But I love pointing out when it says Jesus said. Because it just gives it a little more oomph. You know what I mean? Jesus said, praise the Lord. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Praise the Lord. All things are possible to him who believes. Now, that word or that phrase, you know, this is one of those scriptures that Christians love to grab onto, and you should. It's one of those scriptures we love to believe, and you should. Amen. But we have to understand that it doesn't mean that every single thing in the world is possible to him who believes. You can believe all day long that you can start flying, but I'm going to guarantee you aren't going to fly. Amen. It's not going to happen, praise the Lord. You can believe all day long that you're going to grow an extra foot today, but it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen, praise the Lord. You can believe all day long that you can eat ho-hos and ding-dongs and come out on the other end skinny, but it ain't going to happen, amen? Unless you got a tapeworm, and then you can believe it because it's going to happen. But aside from that, you can't use faith for things that faith ain't meant for. Amen. We need to understand that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Good thing this isn't dinner theater, hallelujah, because that would have been bad. Start thinking about tapeworms and stuff like that. But all things are possible to him who believes. I like seeing it this way. All things are possible to him who sees. Praise the Lord. And what do I mean by that? Not somebody who sees something, because the Bible tells us that faith that is seen isn't faith. Amen. Hope that is seen is not hope. Amen. You have faith for what you don't have yet. You have faith for what you don't possess, what you can't see. That's what faith is for. It's to carry you through until you do see it. But faith sees it anyways. Amen. Faith sees it just like I was talking. Faith has revelation that that belongs to you. Faith has revelation that that thing is yours. This is why so many Christians fail what they're believing God for. It's because they go to God not knowing what's theirs. See, it's a lot. This is why the Holy Spirit leads us in the truth. He leads us and guides us into the things that belong to us. He shows us what's for now. He shows us what we can walk in and what he has for us. This is what the plan of God is all about, is knowing exactly what God has for you in this time period. Now, here's the great thing about faith is that if God has led you to something, you can believe that he's given you all the ability and everything that's needed for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's pretty exciting. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when the pastor takes up one of those stinking offerings again, guess what? You can believe that God will give you enough left over to give into that. Now, you may have to step out in faith and do it ahead of time. But you can believe, you can have faith that it's going to continually come. See, this is the way that faith works, amen? Faith is a forward-reaching thing. It's always reaching to those things that we don't have yet. Is there anybody in here who's saved today? Praise the Lord. Going to heaven and you know it. We got a few people, amen? Praise the Lord. How do you know that you're going to heaven? Can you see it? Have you been to heaven before? Praise the Lord. Do you know the way to get to heaven? Do you know the road? If you got into a spaceship and you wanted to fly into heaven, somebody said, Elon Musk come up to you and said, here's a spaceship and I want you to fly. It's Elon Musk, right? He's the guy that flies. Amen. And he's got, I got a spaceship for you. I want you to fly to heaven. Would you know what direction to go? Well, you get outside the earth and you'd be lost. Amen. Because there's a big black void out there and you wouldn't know which way. You know, heaven's a real place. It exists. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you wouldn't know which way to get to it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know that you're saved. You know you're going there. Well, how do you know that? You know that by faith. Amen. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. Now, we do know that at some point we will reach that destination. But just as we know that we will reach that destination by faith, we need to believe that we'll reach all the things that God has for us by faith. That we're going to step into all those things that God has called us to by faith. That we're going to be fully supplied by faith. We need to believe that by faith. Amen? Just the same way. Praise the Lord. But I put this down here, and this seemed real good to me. One cannot believe in what one does not know. Praise the Lord. You can't know. See, there's a lot of scripture that talks about a lot of things that belong to a believer. But if a person doesn't know that, they're not going to ever be able to obtain that. And not only that, the Holy Spirit isn't going to be able to lead them in that because to them, it's not a real thing. Amen? You know, if you've never seen a red chair before, I couldn't describe a red chair to you. You understand that? I couldn't make it make sense to you. If you didn't have any idea what a chair was for, and it, you know, there's people, I love it when you get to partake of different cultures. There's certain things in certain cultures that they don't understand, that other people, other cultures don't understand about ours, and that we don't understand about theirs, and it's hard to explain that. I mean, if you went back 50 years ago and tried to explain a smartphone. If you went back 150 years ago and tried to explain a smartphone to somebody, they couldn't even fathom what it's about. We were talking to somebody recently and they were talking about when the internet first came out or like was more popular, you know, that they had a classroom and they were in school. Yeah, it was our pastor, praise the Lord. And he went to this classroom and they were trying to explain to them what the internet was. Now, is there anyone in here that knows what the internet is? Is there anyone in here who has a hard understanding of the internet? You pretty much know what to do, right? You have search bars and you search for things and you find things that you're looking for, pictures, words, whatever you're looking for. You can videos, you can go find it, amen? But how many, back in that day, nobody knew what it was. And so there's, well, wait a minute here. So what, are we connecting to another computer? Are we, it was very hard for them to understand. I remember when it was first explained to me. I'm like, wait a minute, how does, like, you dial, you get on the phone and it dials to another number and you, now you can look at pictures through that? I'm like, yeah. I remember the first time somebody was explaining text messaging to me. I use text messaging more than I use anything probably in this day and age. And I remember the first time, I'm like, wait a minute. So you take your phone and you press the 3 times or the 4 2 times. You know what I mean? Because back in the day, we didn't have we had to actually press the number. We got pretty good at that, too. You could spell out something real quick. That's where all the shortcuts came from, by the way, if you didn't know. But, it was hard for me to understand. Wait, so you type this in, and this message gets sent to somebody else, and they can read it over their phone. It was crazy, right? I mean, to us, we're like, you know, kids are looking at me like, yeah, that's what it does. Yeah, that's not weird. But you understand, when I grew up and you had a rotary phone, you know what I mean? You didn't get to text message anybody. You didn't send messages over the phone. You picked up the phone and you talked into it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now these that's the least of what we do in these. Do you know there's more technology in this than what put the first man on the moon? I don't know if you knew that, but it's interesting. I mean, it's amazing, all the technology. And now they got watches that you can talk into and see pictures and all the other stuff. I mean, it's crazy. But how many know you can't, if you didn't know about that, you couldn't explain it. It would be something that would be hard for people to grasp. Well, the same thing is with the Word of God. You can't talk to somebody about faith unless they've seen faith, unless they've started being taught about faith. You know, and so if people, the body of Christ, if they don't know the things that belong to them, it's hard for them to believe that God can do that. You know, one of the ones I love and that is so hard for people to believe is healing. People have such a hard time believing in healing. Yet if you really think about it, healing's not that hard of a concept to believe in. Have you gotten cut recently? If you've gotten cut recently, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If your body is healthy, what does it do? It heals itself. It grows back together. How does it do that? You think about it. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? You have cells that replenish themselves. If a cell gets damaged, it fixes itself. Praise the Lord. If everything is working, operating correctly. In fact, most of the people that seek doctors for healing are because they're in a place where something is operating out of order, not right. But yet people think that it's hard for God, who created everything, to heal them. It's a concept that's beyond them. But see, if you understand God, then you understand how He made things. You understand that it's not hard for God to do that. Amen. Well, one cannot believe in what he does not know. If you have the Word, then you have the seed of faith. And this is why we encourage Christians to hear the Word, to see the Word, to be in the Word. Not because we're trying to put you in bondage, but because we need to plant that seed in you so we can grow things. Amen? Any farmer knows that if you don't put seed in the ground, you don't get harvest. And so that's what the Word is. The Word is likened to seed that we plant, that others plant, that will go into people and will grow. Amen? When I first came into the family church, I was not the spiritual giant that you see before you today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say that jokingly. But I was nowhere near where I am today. I was nowhere as capable as I am today. And where I am today is nowhere as capable as some people are. A lot of people are. There's a lot of people way more spiritual than I that can do so much more, and they know so much more about God than I do. Praise the Lord. But how many know that there was things that have been placed in me that have grown and they have flourished into things, praise the Lord, that has increased in my life, and it's affected all areas of my life. It's affected the way I live. It's affected my health. It's affected our finances. It's affected what we own, what we drive, what we what we walk in. Praise the Lord. It affects how we move. It affects how we move about. Amen. I remember when I first came into the church, I was a camper. Praise the Lord. I loved to camp. Oh yeah, I'd love to be in a tent. Praise the Lord. You can't get me in a tent today. Why? Because I got knowledge of the Word. I don't need a tent. I want a hotel. I want a nice hotel. I don't want no roach-infested motel. I want a good hotel, amen, with a nice bed, amen, a bed that makes me want to go home and say, you know what? I want that bed in the hotel. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I tell my wife sometimes, like, I would love to live in a hotel. I love that somebody comes and cleans up after you once a day. I love that they come bring you fresh, smelly towels. You know, the towels in the hotel, they always smell good and clean. Not that ours don't, but you know what I mean? It's because they got to shock treat them with stuff. You know what I mean? But I love that. I love that clean. I love bleach. Praise the Lord for bleach. Hallelujah. Chemicals. Everyone wants to do things without chemicals. I say chemical it and kill all the bad stuff in it. Make it smell good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know what I'm saying? Like God will increase things in you, will increase the ability in you to see things that you couldn't see before. Now, if you like to camp, don't get mad at me. Fine. I'm not saying camping's wrong. Amen. I'm just saying it's wrong for me now. Amen. And there's times I still go out in the woods, but every time I do, you know, I always come back saying the same thing. I wish I had a hotel. Hallelujah. I've gotten soft in my old age, praise the Lord. But glory to God, he can still work in me. Amen? Praise the Lord. All things that are obtainable by faith are obtainable by faith. That's what the scripture is saying when it says that to him who believes, all things are possible. All things that can be obtained through faith are obtainable through faith. So in other words, if there's an ability to get it, then there is the ability to get it. Yeah. And this is what's awesome about that. See, we don't even understand. When I first came in, I had no idea what faith was. I had no idea what I could get into. I had no idea what the Lord had for me because I had no faith built in me. But as faith got built in me, all of a sudden I'm starting to obtain things and attain things that I couldn't before. And when I say obtain, I'm not talking about stuff. I'm not trying to make this into some kind of financial, some kind of error financial prosperity message. So don't you make it that either. What I'm talking about is whatever's needed. What I'm talking about is the desires of my heart. I'm talking about what God is doing in me, all these things that Scripture says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, Hebrews 11:1, I want to read this to you in the Amplified. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. And I love this last part it says here in the Amplified. It says, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith sees what cannot be seen. Look at your life. What are you lacking? That's what can't be seen. Look at your life. What is missing from your life? Are there things in your life? You know, there are people that are just content with wherever they're at. Listen, if you're content never staying in a hotel and living in a tent the rest of your life, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Praise the Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's areas in our life that we all desire more in. There's areas that we desire better in. There's areas, you know, everybody, if nothing else, you have got a hobby or something you enjoy. And if you don't, well, then that's something you need to believe God for, is to get one, because you need one. Amen. There's things like that. You know, I said in the Mayville church, I've said several times, if you've never been on vacation before, you need to believe God for a vacation, because going on vacation is a very godly thing. Go on vacation. And you say, well, maybe I don't want to go to another. You don't have to go to another country. Praise the Lord. You don't have to go on someone else's vacation. Think about what you want to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe your idea of a great vacation would be, what's that? It's tent camping. Praise the Lord. Well, then you need to believe God for a nice tent. You at least need a good tent, right? Amen. And a good sleeping bag. Praise the Lord. Glory in some anti-bear spray or whatever. Hallelujah. But faith sees what cannot be seen. So what are you not seeing in your life? This is what faith is for, to see it. Praise the Lord. You say, well, I don't understand all this seeing stuff. Sure you do. Did you picture grandma who isn't here? There's grandmas here. Praise the Lord. I can't use that. We have no... picture somebody you can't see. That's what faith is. It's seeing things. God gave us the imagination, but the devil uses it more than God gets a chance to. God's given us imagination. He's given us the ability to see things that cannot be seen, and yet the devil takes over. How do we know this? Well, you go to the doctor, you get a bad report. All of a sudden, you see yourself in a casket. Or how about this? You get a cough, and you're like, sure enough, this is something bad. It's something bad. I know it is. And so you're seeing something. You're seeing yourself sick. You're seeing yourself, oh man, I don't know. Your kids leave the house. You see yourself getting a phone call. They're dead. Something happened, car accident. My mom used to go through this. Hallelujah. My mom, before she got saved and got some word built in her, praise the Lord, she didn't have a whole lot of faith in things, and especially me, and I can understand why. But, you know, every time I left her, she was afraid that she was pretty sure that she was going to get a phone call that I was dead. Amen. Well, how many know that's faith? It's the wrong kind of faith, but it's faith nonetheless. Amen. The devil uses it all the time. We need to start turning it around and using it the way God intended for. How do we do that? Well, when you start getting a bad report, or you start getting that tickle in your throat, or you start getting, you get a bill in the mail that you can't pay. How about start seeing it as paid? Amen. How about start seeing yourself healthy? Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody who can imagine sunshine right now? I know it's hard. Praise the Lord. But can you imagine what green grass looks like? Praise the Lord. And if you don't, we all have smartphones. If you don't, you can borrow mine. We'll look at what grass looks like. Amen. We'll look at what nice weather looks like. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I was looking at a picture the other day, and I looked at a picture of me. I was driving with my dog, and it was the summertime, and the windows were down, and I was wearing short sleeves. I could almost feel the warm air, amen, coming through the window. That's faith. That's what faith is. It's the ability to see things that don't exist. But see, so often we're using it negatively. Listen, you know, actually the devil is dumb. And if we were smart, we could use his own tactics against him. Now, let me give you an example of this. I thought about this week. I actually almost came up with a whole sermon called Thanks, Devil. Thanks, Devil. Because the devil, he's a loudmouth. You know that, right? The devil just loves to speak in your ear. He loves to give you ideas of all the bad things. Amen? But, you know, if we look at it correctly, all we got to do is just a little different thinking, and we can turn that right around on him. How do we know? Well, the devil says, look at what that person did to you. Well, thanks, devil. There's somebody I can pray for. The devil says, you're gonna go down. Well, this is an area he's attacking on. So, obviously, this is an area that I can start believing God for. Praise the Lord. God, you're never going to have anything. Thanks, devil, for the opportunity for me to start using my faith on something. Because I wasn't even, you know, before you come whispering in my ear, I wasn't even thinking about losing everything. Now that I am, I'm going to start confessing more into my life. Thanks, devil. See, we just got to look at it a little bit differently. We just got to, you start thanking the devil. You say, well, that pastor down there, man, he really goofy. First, he has church on Saturday nights. Second, he's telling me about thanking the devil. I don't get all that. But see, you just got to think right about things. See, sometimes we tend to, and listen, some of us, we've been, you know, we've gone through part of our life with that, you know, that ability to slip into negativity and all that stuff. We just need to learn how to turn around. And it's going to take a little practicing because we've all been, you know, a little ways in this now. But we can do this, amen? every time the devil throws something at you, you just turn around. Oh, thanks, devil. Praise the Lord. You're still going to hell, but now I know what I got to release faith for. Now I know what you're attacking. Yeah. See, that's the thing. It's like, praise the Lord. It's like the glory to God. There's this. I'm not going to go there. The devil is making it very clear where he stands. Yeah. He's making it very clear what he's throwing at us. Yeah, right. Praise the Lord. It's like if the. If you were playing, you know, sports, they have different teams, and they have strategies, praise the Lord. They have plays that they play, amen. Brother Scott, I don't know, every time you're in service, I got to start talking about football, praise the Lord. It's not his fault, praise the Lord, but maybe God's trying to soften me on something, I don't know. Maybe we need to go to a football game together sometime or something, I don't know. But you know, they have strategies, and everybody wants to know what the strategy of the other team is, because if you know what their strategies are, then you know where they're going. If the one team knew what every play the other team was going to make, it would be easy for them to win the game because they would just be able to counter it every single time. But this is the devil. He's like wearing his plays on his sleeves, and people are sitting there crying about it. Like, well, he just attacked me. Well, he just showed you what he's doing. He just showed you what area is coming from. He just showed you what he's coming after. Let's build faith in us and say, wait a minute here. Because, see, this is the thing. When you know, when you can see that you're a child of God, and you can see that you already win, when you can see that you already have the answers, then when he comes up with something, you're just like, oh, okay. Well, there's the attack, and this is how I thwart it. The fire's over here. I'm going to put it out. Oh, now the fire's over here. I'm just putting it out over here. And see, that's the way that it works. Praise God. Hallelujah. Faith sees what cannot be seen. Praise the Lord. The devil gives us all he gives us all our faith projects. He gives us all the things we need to believe for. Just right. See, if he was real smart, he'd just shut his stupid mouth. But that's because he's an idiot. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that's why he's going to hell. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to John 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I don't know why I like saying it. I just do. I don't know. They're easy to know. John 5, verse 19. Glory. I hope you're getting some help tonight. Yes. Praise the Lord. John 5, 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you. Everybody say, most assuredly. Most assuredly. That means you can be pretty sure of it. Yeah. If Jesus said, if God said, most assuredly, that means you can be pretty sure of it. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son does also does in like manner. Yeah. This is a common mistake that people think when they think about Jesus. They think, well, Jesus was here. He was God on the earth, and he was. I'm not saying that was a mistake. What I'm saying is the mistake is they think that Jesus did things according to his own ability. Yeah. They think that Jesus came up with the Holy Ghost wet willy to free the person who was deaf. They thought that he came up with spitting in the mud. He says the Son does nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. Yeah. Jesus watched what God did. Yeah. Now, did he watch him do it? Did God appear before Jesus every single time and he was there? No, what do we know about Jesus? He had the Holy Spirit without measure. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He spent time with God. And so what did God do? God showed him things on the inside in his spirit. God showed him what to do. Jesus perfected following that leading, seeing, perceiving the things that did not exist, seeing things that don't exist, yeah. But believing that these are the things he could do, because he knew the Father. Praise the Lord. That's what the scripture is talking about. Because we know that God wasn't just appearing before Jesus every second of the day. How do we know that? Because Jesus was tempted. Jesus walked this life. The Bible said that he walked it the same life as we did, just did it without sinning. Right? Amen. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, you'll do greater works than I do. Yeah. If the Bible tells us, Jesus told us, that the Holy Spirit come forth from the Father. Yeah. He comes to us from the Father. Yeah. Amen. Jesus said, when I leave, it's good for you to leave, because when I leave, he's going to come. And he's going to show you things to come. He's going to not speak on his own authority, but what he hears, he will speak to you. He's going to show you. He's going to tell you what he wants you to do. That's how this message got prepared. I had this message. It was named a little different, and it had different scriptures in it. How is that the same message? Well, that's where it started. And that's what I was inspired on. But in one scripture, God took it and built a whole nother message on it. How? Because I followed the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And so this message was born out of that same direction. Even though I had these other things built in me, this other direction, God took it somewhere because he wanted to help you with it. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we see this, that Jesus was just setting us up to know. He was like, listen, the Bible tells us, and I think it's in 1 John, it tells us that basically those who are Christ ought to walk as he walked, even as he walked. How did he walk? Led by the Spirit. The Bible tells us when he went into the wilderness season, after he was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist, it said that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit into a place that didn't look like blessing. But what was he done? He was tested there. And he was proven there. And then after that, he was able to do these things, these great and wonderful miracles, because he went to the wilderness. He was tested to see if he'd be faithful to God or if he was going to follow the devil. Christians were being tested all the time. The test is just that. It's a test. Amen? The test just is there to see if you pass or fail. And guess what? If you fail it, you got to go back and take the test again. You know what I mean? It used to be a time in school that if you didn't pass one grade, you stayed behind and had to take it over again. It's not so much that way anymore, but that's the way to know if you're ready for that. Why? Because if you can't, are they trying to punish you? No. But if you can't pass the test, you can't go on and do the higher work. You can't do the greater things. It's the same thing with God. If you can't pass a simple test, there is no way he's going to put more on you because you won't be able to carry it. Praise the Lord. That's why my training was the way it was, because I had to learn the things that I was going to learn that would help me with pastoring. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, now turn with me, and we're going to a bunch of scriptures here tonight, I know, but turn with me to Romans. Praise the Lord. So we need to walk as Jesus walked. And we just saw there that he did nothing of himself, but what he saw the Father do, those things he did. Amen. So Jesus followed the Father. This is why Christians get so screwball-y and get goofy and off and get mixed up. You know, I've talked to many different, Romans 12 is where I'm having you turn. I don't know if I said that, but as a pastor, I talked to many different kinds of religions, people in different religions, different faiths, different sects of Christianity and stuff. And one thing I've noticed about all things with bondage Christianity, what's bondage Christianity? It's any form of Christianity that keeps people in some kind of bad bondage. The similar vein in everyone, it doesn't matter if it's the Jehovah's Witness, it doesn't matter if it's the Mormons, there's many others, different kinds of things like this. There's certain denominations that are full of bondage. The one key thing in all of them is that they pull people away from the Word of God, the actual Word of God, and they start teaching them their truths. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We have some Amish brothers and sisters, some friends. We love the Amish. They have a lot of great things in their lives, praise them, that they do. But one of the things I've learned about that faith is that it's bondage. It pulls people away from the truth. They won't even look at the truth. They don't want to look at the truth. And listen, it's not just them. I've known so many. I've got brothers and sisters in all kinds of denominations. I've seen brothers and sisters that are Baptists that do this. They pull them away from the truth, and this is what we teach. Well, I don't want to hear what the Word says. I want what we teach. I've seen this in Catholicism. I've seen this in many different kinds. I'm not trying to just pick out, you understand. I'm not trying to call people out, but I'm showing you that there's many sects of Christianity that fall victim to this stuff. And what it does is it places people in bondage. The word is freedom. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What's the truth? It's the Word of God. It's not your ideas of what the Word of God are. It's not the things that you were raised in. It's not your tradition. That is not truth. I'm not saying it's all wrong. I'm not saying it's all bad, but it doesn't equate to truth. There is one thing that equates to truth, and that's the Word of God. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit will not lead us. Listen to this. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not guide you into your tradition. He will not guide you according to what your parents told you. He will not guide you according to what the elders in this church or that church said. He's not going to guide you in any of that stuff. He's going to guide you into God's truth. This is why people miss it, because they start believing men more than they believe the Bible. We can't do that. Praise the Lord. And we preach the Bible plainly. We bring scripture after scripture after scripture out. Why? Because we want people to know the truth. Look at this here, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, you're not supposed to sin. You're not supposed to live in sin. So, like, this flies in the face of all those sects of Christianity that try to teach that you can live any way you want. Oh, you Christians, do whatever you want. You want Christians that can drink now. You want Christians that can do this and that. Praise the Lord. Christians out there fornicating like crazy. I mean, it's crazy. And so there used to be a time there was some holiness in Christians. Today, it's like you go to a Christian church and it's like there's no holiness. No, listen, you can't just fornicate and believe that's okay. The Bible says that fornicators go to hell. That's premarital sex, by the way, in case you didn't know. Now, listen, if you lived in that, of course, we lived in that. There was things that weren't great, perfect about my life. But we're out of that now. We won't go back to that kind of thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, in other words, what this is saying there is to live right. So, live right. That's the first thing, is basically what Romans 12:1 says. Present yourself a living sacrifice. You know, just live right. Just try to live right. Do your best to live right according to the way God has you live, right? It's reasonable, it says, to do that. And then verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. Oh, my Lord. Well, Pastor, you know, we probably ought to do this because this is what the world's doing now. This is what the churches are doing now. And I don't care what the churches are doing. Bible says, Psalm 127, 1, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain to build it. I am not going to labor in vain. I'm building according to His plan. You know something? I can look. I have a real dear friend in the ministry. His name's Pastor Mike Anderson. And Pastor Mike he was integral to me becoming what I am today, to being able to do some of the things that I do and to even pastor. He was integral to that. He was one of the people that God placed in my life. Amen. He's a phenomenal pastor. I just love the way that he pastors. He's a man after my own heart this way. You know, I'm not saying, of course, my pastor's not or anything like that, but I'm just talking about him for a second. Dear sweet man of God, he has two churches, praise the Lord, one in South Dayton, one in Olean, and they're successful churches, praise the Lord. Over the years, he's just one of the people I've been known to go to and just say, you know, what do you do here? What do you do there? Just get his take or his opinion on things, you know what I mean? But, you know, even the Lord showed me something about this, and that's fine to do. There's nothing wrong with that. We always can look to mentors or friends or whatever, you know, that are doing things right. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there is. But here's the thing. Ultimately, when I build my church, I have to build it the way God shows me. See, because God is leading him, and I know that God's leading him. But you know what I know about God's leading for him? It's totally different than God's leading to my pastor. And it's totally different than God's leading to his pastor, which is Pastor Michael. And so you know what? And Pastor Michael and Pastor Tim have always encouraged me the same thing. You got to be led the way you're led. And he said, Pastor Michael says to me, the answer to 1,001 questions is be led. We don't always like to hear that when we're seeking. When we're seeking answers. But I'm going to tell you something. There's so much truth to it that we can't. Why? Because because even though they were led into something by the plan of God, by the Spirit of God directly led them, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. They followed God building and let God build their houses. God isn't doing it the same way in every town. God isn't doing it the same way here that he did it in Mayville. God has a certain plan for this group of people, for this church, praise the Lord, and it's different from every other church, praise the Lord. So if I try to do it the way they're doing it, I start following, even though they did it by God's plan in my situation becomes man's plan. Why? Because God didn't lead me that way. See, we need to be led. We can't look at our neighbor and say, well, how do you, we give testimony so people understand that God is working, but not so you go out and say, okay, well, I'm going to do the same exact thing because that won't work for you. God won't lead you that way. Praise the Lord. Don't try to copy what somebody else did. Follow what the Holy Ghost is showing you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world and be transformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are you going to prove it? How are you going to test it? How are you going to, that's what that word proves mean. You're going to prove it out, right? Just like we prove out the tithe, praise the Lord. How do you prove out the word of God? By going to the word of God. You need the word of God to prove out the will of God. The will of God is found in the word of God. You say, wait a minute, did God write this 2,000 years ago specifically? No, but as you get in the Word, God will specifically reveal to you exactly what you need for today. Yeah. Exactly. This is how the Spirit leads us by the truth, because you get into the Word. It's called a living Word. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by the Word of God, by hearing the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Christians get mad at me when I talk about, you know, why you need to be in church. Christians that don't like to come to church all the time. They like to get mad when you talk about why you need to be in church. But the reason you need to be in church is so you hear the word, so you build faith, so you can go out and live a good, blessed life. It's all right there. God wants to build faith in you, but you need it built by the word of God. The Holy Spirit will guide you. He will lead you. He will show you things to come according to the word of God and the will of God. You need to prove those things out, and you can't do that unless you're in the word, unless you get the word. Amen. Now, there's people, there's certain parts of Christianity that all they do is they do nothing but the word. They just read the word. They learn the word. They recite the word. They have all this word built in their minds, but they have no revelation of it because they exclude the Spirit. We need both the Word and the Spirit. We can't exclude the Word or the Spirit with just the Word, and that's how people get very religious. And conversely, the way people get real goofy is because they do spiritual stuff, spiritual stuff, spiritual stuff. We have that, and we have a lot of that in this town. That there's people who are just the spirit, the spirit, the spirit. We're going to be led, 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 and there's no order. There's no, nothing. It's not the spirit. It's a spirit. It's the devil. It's the devil working. Now, that doesn't mean that everything they do is bad or anything like that. They're going to hell. But good people can be led by the wrong voice. Amen. A lot of people don't understand that. Okay, turn with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read this one. Hebrews 4:12, because I wanted you to see this. Hallelujah. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the word of God is living. It's powerful. It teaches us. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm not even going to try to get through this message tonight, because there's more to it, and I want to preach it. I don't want it to get off. So we've got a good introduction. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to end with Hebrews 4:12, that the Word of God is living and powerful. We need to be led by the Word. We need to be guided by the Word. But we're going to have to pick this up next week. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, I hope your help tonight give us a good start anyways. It give us a good thing. Next week, we're going to get into some things specifically about how people are led by the Word, led by the Lord. But see, here's the thing. If we try to do, we need to get the principles out of it. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to preach the rest of the message, but you know what I'm saying. There's good stuff in it next week. We need to hook up and continue on from there. Amen.